Streaming live
across the globe
from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Summer Worldwide Network.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
You are listening to
Business Unplugged with your host, Paul Conant.
Welcome to the Business Unplugged podcast. I'm Paul Conant, founder of Gazoom Media and Consulting, and today we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects.
What, you?
Me, Gazoom. Isn't that great?
That is cool.
I'm here with the show's producer, Robin Cote. Robin, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, Paul?
I'm good. You know, this is our third year together doing podcasts.
I cannot believe that. When you mentioned that before, I'm like, what? Yeah. It can't be that long.
Yeah, you know, they've changed, you know, in the beginning, the first couple of shows. Well, it was just business, and then it went into the Profit Protocol. All had ideas, and we had some great guests on those shows, and we met some great people. But I didn't really have a system or process for it. And then Jamie Copeland, you know, we've got him on. Then we did the travel, and we're still kind of doing that. We've got
some shows going on. Cool.
That was fun because we really got to understand some of the different travel venues that are in Arizona.
I've learned a lot.
I did too, which is fantastic, and a lot of cool things are coming down with that as well. But, you know, here we are today. It's, you know, COVID's still with us. We were doing this before COVID, and COVID, so it's a race. Who's going to win, us or COVID? Whatever's going to last longer? We're still doing the podcast.
And that's the beautiful thing, because I was able to come in here to the studio, even though I didn't get to see you because of COVID. Yeah. You were at home, but we were able to communicate, which was kind of cool. You still did the show.
We did.
And that was a lot of fun.
That's right. And that got me to invest some money into my computer at home for the right microphone. And I haven't gotten into the camera stuff, but, you know, maybe one day. It's a rough one.
You got the great voice for a podcast.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. So it's all good. So here we are. We're going to talk about, I guess we could talk about a little bit about me and then a little bit about Gazoom, if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, you've been doing podcasts for a while now, so you're one of our seasoned hosts. And you're in here now doing a brand new podcast, Business Unplugged. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Business Unplugged?
Absolutely. So the concept was, you know, the first couple of years we had interviewed guests on the show and really great stories. And it wasn't supposed to be that way. It wasn't supposed to be about great stories. But what I realized, and as marketers, you realize this all the time, it is about a story that you want to hear, and you want to hear what's the differentiating factor in businesses. So that, you know, Business Unplugged is going to be more of that, kind of the, just tell me exactly about your life and what happened and the good things and the bad things. All too often, especially with social media, we only hear about all the great things that are happening. Look, I'm on the beach. Look, I'm on, you know, but what about your failures? You can learn so much more from failures than you can. And it doesn't have to be a big failure, but, you know, listen, I've got a ton of them and we'll talk about them, you know, maybe if we bring them up. If you go all Oprah on me and I start crying and weeping on the show. But I mean, failures happen and we're human. But, you know, if you could, and that's why I love books. And that's another segment we'll do on the podcast. We're going to review some books that I've dealt with and read recently. And some I've read a while ago, because there's some really good books out there. Made in America is one of them with Sam Walton and, you know, the story of Walmart. You want to learn about retail? Read that book. You could go and go to school for retail, and you won't learn the raw, you know, that Sam went through in those
boots
books.
On the ground.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know? He was crazy, that guy. I mean, he went to Brazil and he was measuring. He wanted to know how they could fit so much square footage of inventory into these small stores. And he went with a tape measure and he was on the floor measuring, and he got arrested for that. He was in a Brazilian jail. So,
wow.
And it's in the book. So, I mean, those are the stories that you don't know about them that, you know, when you read about it, you're like, wow, that's very interesting, you know. But what was his mindset for that? You know, those are the important things. So that's kind of where I want to go with the podcast, is bring people on and let them kind of, you know, you better understand them as a business owner, because then their stories are their differentiating factor. You want to know the difference between, you know, say, you know, business A and business B? Well, it's their story. And yeah, they may do the same thing. If it's a dentist, you know, maybe they both are general dentists, but there's definitely differentiating factors between both of them. Use those differentiating factors to, you know, show the clients who you are. And once they get to know you, they'll like you. And for the most part, there's some people that aren't likable. And maybe try to have some of those people on the show too. And you'll be able to see the differences of marketing and how that works. But really, that's the goal of the show, is to kind of have, you know, people on the show to tell their stories, and you could better understand, you know, what makes them tick and as a whole, you know, why they got into business.
Well, speaking of that, Why don't you answer that same question? If that's the question you're going to ask to the people coming on the show, when did you become an entrepreneur? Why? And maybe talk about one of your failures that you've had that has kind of helped you in the... I know it's a tough question to ask and a tough question to answer. But, you know, it again, it humanizes who you are. You are the host of the show. And I've always believed if the host of the show can share their own journey, then it helps the guests to be able to open up and share those more personal, vulnerable, and tough times in their life on their journey of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I fell on my face more times than I could count. I mean, every time I try to do something, I would fall down and get back up. I think resilience has been my key. If you had to say one thing, you know, that I pride myself in, is, and that's resilience. I'll get up, dust myself off. That self-talk is really important, I think, to people. You have to have that positive self-talk. You can't be oblivious, and you can't, you know, although The Secret sounds very good in a book, it's there's reality, right? So it's there's sometimes, you know, you can't do everything. But, you know, if you have that self-talk and you feel good about yourself, you can make it go on. But to answer the question, when did I want to become an entrepreneur?
Well, there's a few questions in there you have to answer.
So I'm going to try to get them all. Let's see if I can hit them all. So when did I want to become an entrepreneur? I think, you know, it was very early on. I was in fifth grade, and I think about it because my daughter's in sixth now, and I couldn't believe that she would do half the things that I did, which is crazy. But I was in fifth grade, and our paper boy I would always talk to him as he was coming up and down the street. He was a nice kid. I think his name was Jeff Fisher. He was really nice. He's a good family, Wendy Fisher. We grew up in the neighborhood with them. Very nice people. And Jeff had a paper route, and he talked to me, and he said, "Hey, I'm quitting my route. I'm looking for somebody to take over the route." And, you know, I didn't even ask my parents. I was like, "Okay, yeah, I'll do it. Sounds good." It's the morning route, okay, first of all, and Sundays. You'd have to deliver the papers. But what that allowed me to do was I took it. Told my parents afterwards, which was kind of the story of my life. I always like to do that, by the way.
Ask permission, just do and apologize.
That's the way I would do it. That's terrible. But anyway, yeah, so I took over the morning route, and now the papers get dropped off. They just got to find out where they're going to drop off. They drop them off in front of your house. You're up around the neighborhood, and then you go collecting. You get the money. I don't think I had a wagon at the time. I think I had a bike with, you know, the papers on the front of the bicycle. You'd have like a paper bag. And what happened was that made me kind of the go-to person when something went wrong at their house. They needed a lawn mowed. Well, we didn't have a lot of landscapers back then, but I was a landscaper, right? Hey, Paul will mow the lawn, or Paul could shovel the sidewalk. And I had a lot of older people on the route, so that made sense. And I didn't do it for money per se, but it was for the tip, right? So they would give you a much bigger tip. And then Christmas came along, and they just, man, this guy did everything for me. And that's how I kind of started doing that. And I knew then that I, you know, wanted to work for myself. I thought business, you know, I'd ask my father, "Why don't we have our own business?" "I don't want to do that." You know, entrepreneurship wasn't in his blood. But it became in mine, I would say probably about fifth grade. And then from there, I got into, there was a local access. You remember Wayne's World, right?
Yes.
That was kind of me, right? And, you know, maybe I should have went for therapy. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I shouldn't have done all this stuff. I, you know, got onto podcasting and you know, local access. You know, maybe my parents should have sent me for therapy, and that would have been better, or into the army when I graduated high school. But they didn't, and I followed this path. But I started doing the local access show, and that even brought it. I was still doing my paper route at the time because I was 14 or 15 years old. And I did that till I think I was almost 16, the paper route. I would bounce around. I had afternoon routes, morning routes, but it was always kind of the same, you know, clients, you would say, customers in the neighborhood that I would deliver to. But the TV show brought it to another level, because now what happens is I was able to fix the VCR. So now as I'm delivering the paper, and they would say to me, "Hey, can you fix the blinking light on the front of my VCR?" Now, probably people under 30 wouldn't even know what that is. Maybe they would, but you know, you would know, and I know it.
I still use mine on occasion.
It's like that light was annoying, right? Every time the power would flicker and there was no battery backup in the VCR, then I would go in and I would program for him. I was the genius. So that was right. "Oh, that kid, he's so smart." It wasn't really. I just knew how to, you know, get the VCR to set the timer.
Well, you knew so better than they did.
And that's, so. I guess that's what a gene, right? Yeah. Anybody that's the expert is just, they know better than the next person. So that was that. But that led me into probably the biggest step of my career, is from there I went to work my first job. And, you know, that kind of hit me for a second, because every so often I'll think about that. That gap when you graduate high school and then you either go to college or you find a job, or I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was completely clueless
any of
at
us?
That point. I think about it now, and it's scary to think about in mm-hmm. retrospect, like, holy cow, what was I thinking? Because I was involved with the TV. I had the local access show. I had the 3 or 4 shows going on. I had all kinds of stuff. I was doing programming with them. And I remember I thought maybe radio. I wanted to get into radio. And a shout out to Jay Sheldon, who was Captain Jay on the radio back in WSNG radio in Torrington. I thought this guy was like, this is it, right? This is what I want to do. And I remember asking him, you should maybe get into radio. And I think he just made kind of an off-cuff comment. He kind of looked at me and he was like, nah, kid, that's not what you want to do. You definitely don't want to be behind the mic. You do sales, get into sales. That's where the money's at. And mm-hmm. it was some comment like that. And I was kind of like crushed in a way, but by the same token, is probably the best advice anybody's ever given me was not to do this. Although I do love radio still. Podcasting now.
It's a lot different now, but I can tell you from personal experience working in radio for 30 years, we'd always look at the salespeople. They were the ones wearing gold chains, gold necklaces. The chicks were always covered in diamonds. Yeah. And us radio people were probably the most sloppy dressed people you'd ever see coming into work. So he gave you the best advice.
I think it was good advice.
Yes.
And it was, but you know, I was just, you know, it was, I loved it. And I loved the TV station. But, and also, I had spoke to an agent who was at the station, and I said, you know, I want to do acting and I want to do this. And they're like, okay. And she kind of laid out for me, exactly what to expect with it. And I was like, well, no, I didn't want all that. I want the end result, right? I want the TV show. I want, you know, and she's like, oh, no, you probably won't ever get that. But if you do, you're gonna have to work really hard. You're gonna have to bust tables. You're gonna have to do this and this and this. And I was like, yeah, I kind of like the paper route. That was pretty easy. And, you know, I knew it and that's what I want to do. So, but I got into fixing TVs and VCRs. So I started a business doing that. Actually, I went to work for someone that was doing that, TV engineers in Waterbury, Connecticut, and went back and bought them. So I left them, quit, and then started my own business, which was very successful. I was in computers. I was doing a lot of different things. And then went back and bought TV engineers, which was pretty cool because that was business, had been in business since like the 30s or 40s. So
wow.
Now that became my business. And then eventually, here's a failure. I'm going to hit your failure question.
Go for it.
I had moved the business to another part of a much busier part of Waterbury. The business was picking up in the newer part of Waterbury, but I didn't have the proper insurance and we got flooded.
Ooh.
And I lost about $300,000-$400,000 worth of merchandise.
That had to hurt.
Yeah, that was a pretty big failure because I learned that day about egress water. If the insurance guy came in and said, "Oh wow, this is a total loss," and I'm like, "Yeah, thank God I had insurance." He goes, "Well, funny thing, Paul, is you don't have the right insurance."
Ooh.
And I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" And he's like, "Well, you see, there's egress water, so this water came in from outdoors that flooded." Or he goes, "If the sprinklers went off, only if the sprinklers went off, Paul, and everything got wet, then you would have been okay." And I was like, "So if there was a small fire in the building somewhere and my sprinklers were off and I wasted everything," he's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Oh, great. That was bankruptcy." So
rule number one, folks, check your insurance policy. Make sure you understand what type of insurance you have. There is the big learning lesson.
Absolutely. At Progressive, it was definitely a learning experience. And there was a lot of lessons learned there that I could go back to the paper route days and say, look, I maybe should have spent more time developing the landscaping because we're pretty good at that. I had my own lawnmower, you know, had weed whacker, had, you know, at that point I was able to do that pretty well. That could have been a business. I look at the time I spent at the TV studio and thought, wow, I was doing what, you know, YouTubers do back then, you know, on local access. I should have maybe focused a little bit more area into that. But, you know, you get into something and I don't want to say it's not fun because all those things were fun and I enjoyed them at the time. But if you're not making the money, you kind of go on to the next thing and the next thing. And then if you're bouncing around, another failure right there, you know, bouncing around to too many things, you know, you end up going nowhere. So anyway, TV engineers, bought that out, lost that, bankrupt because of the flood. That was a terrible night. And my dad was still alive at then. I remember him looking at me. He's like, "What the hell are you going to do now?" He goes, look, this is a mess. And, you know, I was one of those kind of crazy pods. I'm like, "You know, Dad, you know, life gives you lemons. You make lemonade. I just have to make a lemonade stand at this point." And he just goes, "Yeah, he's nuts. So
I don't think you're nuts.
I bounced back from it a little bit.
Yeah.
I went to work for Circuit City. And in my first year with Circuit City, I became store manager of the year. Another failure along the way was really not, you know, sometimes in business you have to, what's the proper way of saying kiss ass? You have to manage up. How's that? I didn't want to say kiss ass.
I get that.
You have to manage up. That wasn't my forte. I was kind of like, do my own thing. And
yeah, your personality is not kissing butt to get somewhere.
The biggest problem is that you realize that when you work for yourself for too long, you become unemployable, right? Because mm-hmm. what happens is you have these own ideas and things you want to do. And listen, becoming store manager of the year, I didn't do things because, and that's probably what they didn't want to hear. What did you do to, you know, get this happening? How did everybody work for you? And Greg was working with me at the time. So that's when we really start, when we met each other. And it was because we didn't do anything, corporate told us. We were like just, we were selling and it was all about selling. And we drove a sales organization. So we took our run rate from, I don't know, 15, 16 million to 20 something million. And, you know, that was exciting. You know, how do you do it? It was because we got in there early, we left late, and we worked. Failure was, and ended up in a divorce because I was paying so much attention to that. But by the same token, is it led me on to other things in my life. But at that time is when Gazoom started, and so it kind of rolls into the next thing is, you know, about Gazoom.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I like the name because it kind of rolls off your tongue, and you know me, I love muscle cars. I drive one.
You so do.
When I hear the word Gazoom, I'm thinking Gazoom. So where did you come up with the name? And tell us a little bit about Gazoom. It's what do you call that? The beginnings and where you guys are now and what you're doing.
Yeah. So, you know, we first started was because I was in building computers. I had, you know, Circuit City. I had my own business. I was always asked things like, hey, can you, you know, help me with my marketing? Can you help me with my business? Can you help me with, I want to do like what you did. Develop a business card for me. So I had made a friend when I had my own business, it was TV engineers, and then it was video hotline, then tech audio video. We went through a series, again, jumping around with different names and things. But I had made a friend in the advertising world who had made, this is old school. This is, he would do everything with like X-Acto knives and things like that to lay out ads. It was pretty impressive. And I was really intrigued with that. And I would go over to his house because he had his big kind of studio that he had built into his house that he did these ads for, but he did them for big companies. He wasn't doing them for small, but I asked him if he would do an ad for me. And he was like, yeah, okay. You know, but I really wanted to learn from him because he was really smart in the ad layout. So I would go and have discussions with him all the time. Like, why do you lay it out here? Why do you do this? And he, kind of told me something. Then I started reading books, Guerrilla Marketing, J. Conrad Levitz. It was probably my Bible. I carried that around everywhere with me. And there's so many. There's tons and tons of books that I would read on this and really became educated on a cool philosophy how to lay out ads. And that worked really well for me. It worked really well for people that I helped develop the ads for. These were newspaper ads, yellow page ads. And I became doing that. So it wasn't called Gazoom at that point because I was just kind of doing it under my own name. But that's where Gazoom kind of came into play. And now the internet became pretty big at this point. And what I did was like, well, I need a cool name, you know, because you're looking at, you know, Google, and Google wasn't quite there yet. It was Yahoo, Amazon, AOL, CompuServe. I said, you know, I need a cool name too. And that was a discussion I had with Bill from the ad company. And he says, you know, he goes, oh, well, you know, you got to think of something, you know, you'd be your name. Cause that's what he did. I think he had his own name or WHO or something like that he had. But I was like, you know, I need something cool. So I remember sitting down and saying, okay, let me take Google and then that was the G, and then like the I from, there was something else that had the I, the Z from Amazon, and then the 00 from Yahoo, and I came up with a domain that was available. And it wasn't easy to buy domains back then either. It was pretty tough. If you wanted, today you go to GoDaddy, pick them up for, you know, 10, 15 bucks, and away you go. Well, back in those days, you had to go through the domain registry, and it could be 40, 50 bucks. So, you know, oh, I should have bought a bunch of domains. Yeah, good luck with that, because that would have been, that was my idea, by the way. I had an idea to do that. But it was very, very expensive to buy a domain. So I got Gazoom and another one called Deals Ahoy. So Deals Ahoy, not a lot of people know about, but I'm sure the people, Greg would remember, because I would love to pitch them on my new crazy idea. Well, Deals Ahoy, and this was back in 2000, was kind of a, it was a coupon-based idea. So it was for local businesses to put coupons, because I knew eventually we had Sprint phones back then and Nextel phones, but we didn't have the phones like we have now. The iPhones weren't really out yet. So I said, look, someday they're going to get coupons on your phone and you're going to be able to send them to people. And they're looking at me like, what? I'm like, yeah, so Deals Ahoy will be really cool. And I just crazy eye for Deals Ahoy. And then eventually Deals Ahoy kind of fell by the wayside because nobody understood it. Talking about being ahead of
ahead of your time.
Sometimes timing is very critical, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. That self-talk's important, but also timing of what you want to do is pretty critical. And the reason why I knew a lot about this coming down the pike is because I would sit, because when I had my TV company and VCR company, I was authorized Mitsubishi, Gold Star, Samsung, Techniques, Panasonic, Quasar, all these companies that what they would give you free training. And they would tell you, hey, here's the technology we're working on. We're working on flat panel TVs, and you'll be able to check your banking account numbers. You know, you'll be able to look up how much, what you have in your bank. You log in, and it'll be apps for this. And this is before any of this came out, but this was the technology they already were talking about. And I was like, wow, this is the future. And I said, this would be cool if you could get deals popping up on your site from local businesses. And that's where Deals Ahoy came from. Didn't work out. A lot of time invested in that one. Probably was too much time for that one. But again, Gazoom was still in play at that point. So Gazoom became the marketing company to help people build out websites, to help people doing SEO. And this is before SEO was a vogue thing. I would get, people would ask me, hey, how do I become number one for something? I'm like, oh, that's easy. And I would go to a WordPress platform and write up, Paul Cohn is the best attorney in Hartford, Connecticut, and then spam it up. And then before you know it, I was the number one attorney in Hartford, Connecticut, which is probably illegal when you think about saying I was an attorney, but it was to make a point that you could, how you would rank on search engines. And that's how Gazoom kind of got its play in with people, because that was really intriguing to people. Like, wow, I could rank on Google. It's not that easy anymore. It's not the old days. That was the wild, wild west of how you could do things. Nowadays, much more complicated. And now the evolution is that we're into more of a paid society with Google, with Yahoo.
Anywhere, really. So, the Better Business Bureau is the same thing. I had no idea for many years. I had people asking me if my company was listed with the Better Business Bureau. So I made a phone call, and it all was based on money.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with people reporting ratings. How much more money you would give every month would put you high on the list and give you a better rating. And I'm like, that's just false. I could not do that, because to me, that's false advertising.
Well, people have to make a buck, and people found that a easy way to make it was to use their websites as one, because now people go to Yelp and they go to, and we could get into how Yelp works and how all these other companies work. And in a way, they're not a government subsidized program that does things for free. So they've got to make a buck. And unfortunately, when that's the case and people are paid on commission, you have to be very careful. And you have to make sure you're dealing with people you could trust. That's why I always tell people, whether you're my client or not, reach out to me. Ask me about it. I'm more than happy to tell you, how those companies work. Is it a good investment for you to make that marketing decision? So if you go in, you're like, oh, this person just came in to my business and they're telling me the next best thing is this app. I have to be on it. A million downloads, blah, blah, blah. And, first of all, I'll tell them, remember, numbers don't lie, but liars use numbers, right? Because that's how they get tricked into it. Mm-hmm. And if it is the next best thing and there is a time limit on it, take a step back and let that time expire before you make that decision. Because I could tell you, I could count on my hand, there's probably one or two times in my life of thousands and thousands of ideas that have come down the pike that actually turned out to be something that was good. They're not. Most of the times it's a salesperson trying to sell you something to make money off you. And that was one of the differentiating factors between me, is that I wasn't in it to sell it to make money on it. I liked the education portion of it. And that's maybe the reason why I like to do the podcast. And that's the reason why I like to kind of, go on people's podcasts and talk about, search engine optimization and programmatic and things like that. So that's really been kind of the mission of Gazoom was really to help people better understand that. Because people were getting ripped off. I've gotten ripped off. My wife has a dental office. And, if I tell you every day, somebody that calls us with the greatest thing in the world, we're going to get you ranked on YouTube. You'll be this. You'll do that. You could write this. I mean, half of those things you read, best dentist, best doctor, best, they're they're pay per view, my friend. You know, you if you're not advertising in their book, then you suddenly are not the best doctor, or you're not the best orthopedic surgeon. And this is good branding for them, because then they could show the plaque to everybody, and it looks great. But I get it. I'm not a dentist, and I'm the best dentist in Scottsdale. I've got the plaque to prove it. I mean, I get mail at the. My mom will, you know. I'll talk to my mom or the guys, just let you know I did well. And I'll send her a picture of the, you know, Dr. Paul Conant on the mail. And she's like, oh, I'm so proud of you, you know, sarcastically. I'm like, I know, Mom, I worked hard at this. But it's not. It's, you know, they somehow a list gets messed up that, you know, I was looking for something in dentistry. And now I become the doctor. And now they're sending me Dr. Paul Conant. It's not the case. It's all sales. And the better off you are at understanding that, marketing is so extremely important, but I really like truthful marketing. That's why I like the differentiating factors. And I think we've spoke about this before. You know, what makes you different from, you know, this company or that person? That's what you talk about, not fake things that, you know, move you up, because that could also kill you. Because when people find that out, now what happens is, you know, you're not that person. Now you're onto another industry, you're selling something else. It really just be careful with anything you see out there in marketing.
And, you know, I got to tell you, as many times as I've been around people in the industry, different industries, producing all these different shows here at the network and being involved with many different people, I have found you're probably one of the most personable people that I've been working with for the past few years. Okay. So, you know, my number one priority, if I'm going to go meet with someone and buy a service from them or have them help me with anything, if I can't have a conversation and I can't feel good energy, I'm not going to do it with them. I don't care if they give me the best price in the world. If their energy is off for me, I don't do it. And from day one, this has nothing to do with me sugarcoating. Anybody that knows me knows I tell the truth. And the fact that you and I have had this kinetic energy connection since day one, you would be the person I could trust, because I know that I could pick up the phone at any time and call you if I had questions, and you're not going to push me off like a lot of other people would do. I think that to me is the reason why your business has been around as long as it has and why it's been successful. Number one, you said it. It's not about the money for you. It's about making sure that you're helping people. And if you're not able to communicate with that person that you're trusting with your business to market your business, to help your business, that throws everything out the window. And the second thing that I find probably the best is someone who's vulnerable enough that they can admit their mistakes and be open enough to say, I've made this mistake. I've changed things in my life so I don't make that mistake again. But you're human. And, you know, a lot of salespeople, a lot of people you deal with in this industry, they don't want to admit what their low points are. But we've all hit them. We've all had to rewire and redo our lives to come out better. And, you know, like you said, when you concentrated very heavily on something in the very beginning, you also personally suffered for that. But now I think, just knowing you the past few years, I've seen the balance and I've met your family. So, I mean, I see how important it is for you to value family, but you're also very successful in business because you value the people that come to you and trust you. And to me, that's important.
And that's tough, right? Because, you know, you're absolutely right. And I do thank you for the kind words with that. I mean, it could be very cliche as to say, oh, I'm just here to help people. I just want to help you. And then not really have anything to back that up, right? But it's not the case. I mean, if you have something, you have a question on, you know, I'm not, you know, the attorney, I'm like, yeah, it's $120 an hour. Sounds good. Let's talk. I mean, call me, you know, ask me, hey, this is a problem I'm having. What do you think? I mean, now if my business could help you, then fine. I'll show you a way to do it. But I'm more than happy to tell anybody, you know, if you're worried about your marketing, if you're worried about something that I could personally know something about, call, ask that question for sure. I mean, I've always done that. The problem, and I'm going to tell you, there's a problem with that, because here's what happens. You're going to get the Paul Conant download. Which I, you know what, maybe we'll do is we'll just record those as podcasts, because that's what happens, right? I'll be like, whoa, let me explain something to you. Blah, 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 blah. And then I think people get, oh my God, this guy's, you know, he talks a lot. But it's because I want to kind of help tell you the experiences that I had and download. If I don't know about it, I'll be like, I'll be honest with you. I don't know anything about that. I have a client yesterday that had called me because she can't get, she's like a celebrity and she can't get her follow button to work on her Facebook page. You know, it's 5,000 plus people that are she's friends with. Facebook shuts it down. And I said, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how to help with that. I mean, I could go to YouTube and look at it, and it's going to tell us to do this. But at the end of the day, there's no calling. You just can't pick up the phone and say, I'm going to call customer support at Meta or Facebook. I said, but let's try to find something. So I spent, I don't know, 20 minutes on the phone with her, going around in circles trying to find something. We found something, but I don't know if it's going to help or not. We kind of have to. It's not a direct solution to her problem, but it's kind of a roundabout way. She's got to call the advertising department. She wants to advertise with them. She wants to build, you know, her following there. But the problem is, it took a lot of time to figure out how could we figure that out for her. And I'm willing to do that, you know. And it could be, you know, a plus. It could be my downfall. I don't know. But I'm not going to tell her and I'll send her a bill for $150 or $200. I do it because I want to see her be successful. And if she ever needs me for something, she'll refer me off to somebody.
Right. I mean, you're just being personable. And that to me makes all the difference, especially in business, because we live in an atmosphere right now where there's so many things out there, so many different people you can talk to, but you have to be able to separate yourself from the norm. You know, you can't just go AAA in the phone book anymore and then your company name. It doesn't work that way.
Those were fun days, by the way.
Those were, because that's how everybody would do it. AAA, Bob's Pest Control.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, today you really have to set yourself apart from everybody else. And that's, to me, is what the difference is, because you're very personable. And I deal with a lot of people every single day. And I've seen some of your bad days. And you're still extremely personable, and you don't let that interfere with what needs to get done for other people.
Yeah, you've seen me frustrated.
Yes.
You've seen that. And and it could be for whatever reason. We could lay those out on the line.
It's called being human.
But it is, right? It's like that happens. And it's how you deal with that, right? Listen, I still have, you know, bad days and things that I wish I didn't say or didn't do. But that is what it is. And, you know, all you could do is go back and say, okay, I'm going to try to fix that. I'm going to work on that. And be better for it, right? That's what we do. But you know what the thing is? Go into every relationship or every person that you meet with the intention that, you know, this could be a friend or somebody that I could talk to. I don't care a lot about the business portion of it. You know, maybe, I don't even want to say early on, because I never really did. I always just worried about how I could, you know, fix it. I want to be a fix-it guy. You know, if you got a problem, I could fix it, right? Kind of, that was my idea. And, you know, look, if my mom's Fitbit isn't working, guess who she calls?
Aww.
Not my brother, because he's like, yeah, I'll buy a new one. And I was like, she's not, I want a new one. I want this one to work, right? Or my streaming service doesn't work. How do I get this fixed? You know, well, those are the type of things that over the years, you know, you're like, yeah, no problem. I go into this mode, right? It's like everything goes solid. And I'm like, I'm going to fix this problem for you. And that's how it works. So yeah, as all, that's kind of been, that's what I'm about. And that's what hopefully the podcast could help you bring people out to see a little bit more of that in other people, their differentiating factors and who they are and what they do. And we can have fun with that. That's been kind of the goal of it.
And so, I'm really thankful that you opened yourself up today and allowed me to pull some of that out of you.
Yeah, I talked a little bit more than I probably would want
about
myself, but it is what it is, you know. And hey man, if anybody wants to call me, I'm more happy to give you more information on that. I'm pretty old book. Or if you want to know more information, you know,
I was just going to say, you got to read, where do they find you? How do they find you, Paul?
So yeah, I mean, gazoom.com. I mean, we have the podcast, so you could always, you go to the station podcast on Star Network. I mean, that's one way, Star Worldwide Network. You could see that. There's contact pages there. Gazoom.com. That's GIZOOM.com.
Gazoom.
Yeah, Gazoom.
I just like that.
I thought it was a cool name. That's
it is cool.
But more than a cool name. It was kind of the original taglines. More than a cool name. But it's, you know, LinkedIn is always fun. You always find people on LinkedIn. And if you could dodge the LinkedIn and Facebook, we're on Facebook. I'm putting together the Facebook group again so people could come in there and ask questions internal to the Facebook group on anything. You know, if they have an insurance company they have a question on, and they want to do some marketing on that, reach out. I'll let you know if it'll work. You know, Greg and I will be more than happy to sit down and talk to you to see, you know, are you making the right decisions? It don't cost anything for that. That's a strategy session. We'll sit down with you. So yeah, that's another way we could do it as well. But yeah, I mean, that's it. That was kind of it in a nutshell. So Robin, thank you for helping with that today. It was good sharing that information with everybody. I will tell you though, I want to talk about it's a book review I did on Barking Up the Wrong Tree. It's a very, very cool book. And that's going to be coming up next. So after we take a quick break, we'll listen to the book review.
Are you looking to target, drive, and track more customers, both online and offline? Need a smarter, ROI-focused digital strategy? Not sure if your current strategy is working? Gazoom can help. Schedule a strategy session today. Visit gazoom.com and let's make a plan.
Each week, we take a look at one of the world's most popular books, including New York Times bestsellers and universally recommended titles in categories such as management and leadership, business and entrepreneurship, money and finance, career and success, and communications. In today's book, we're talking about Barking Up the Wrong Tree by Eric Barker. So what is the key to success? It's hard to tell when there's so much advice that is contradictory. You know, should you be nice, or is nice for losers? Is it empathy? Is that the key? Or is it resilience? Maybe you should spend every waking hour at work or focus on work-life balance. In Barking Up the Wrong Tree, peak performance expert Eric Barker examines the research on every option and shares what he believes are the secrets to success. I found this book on shortform.com first, then went back and read the book. What I loved about the book so much was that advice that we're told about achievement sounds good in theory, but is downright wrong. In Barking Up the Wrong Tree, Barker reveals extraordinary science behind what actually determines success and, importantly, how anyone could achieve it. You'll learn why valedictorians rarely become millionaires and what your biggest weakness is might be your greatest strength. He discusses whether nice guys really do finish last and why the best lessons from cooperation come from gang members, pirates, and serial killers. By looking at what separates the extremely successful from the rest of us, we learn what we can do to be more like them and find out, in some cases, why it's really good that we're not. Barking Up the Wrong Tree draws on startling statistics and surprising antidotes to help better understand what works and what doesn't. So you can stop guessing at success and start living the life that you want. And if you're interested in finding out more about the book and don't have time to read the whole book, or you've already read the book and want a quick summary, I'd recommend shortform.com. Now, first, they're not sponsoring this at all. They're just a company I found online that I love. And it's by far my favorite way to read summaries of a book to see if I want to invest in the actual book. With Barking Up the Wrong Tree, I found this on Shortform as a recommendation, then read through the summary in about 20 minutes, then went back and bought the book to read. I really enjoyed Barking Up the Wrong Tree, so much so that I read it in about 4 days. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Oh, by the way, Shortform was kind enough to set up a special offer for our listeners by joining through a special link, shortform.com/unplugged. You'll receive 5 days of unlimited access and an additional 20% off the annual subscription. If you're a business owner, CEO, or founder of a company and would love to share your story, reach out and let's have a conversation to see if being a guest on the Business Unplugged podcast makes sense. Visit gizoom.com. That's gizoom.com. Click on podcast for more information. I look forward to hearing from you. If you want advice on a particular marketing subject, reach out to us at gizoom.com. That's gizoom.com. Click on podcast and fill out the contact form and ask your question. Your question will be featured in the Round One Marketing segment of the show. Thanks for listening to the Business Podcast. And if you'd like the show, please rate us where you download your podcast and share the show with your friends. It really does help.